I want to bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. It's good to be here in the house of God. Appreciate what we've heard. I was very blessed with the children's Sunday school verses there. Preschool and primary. Your verse said that the Word of God is going to stand forever. And if you remember that all your life, you will have an anchor that will never be departed from you. It'll go along with what we've heard this morning. I'd like to entitle the message, It Is Written. And I think probably many of you will recognize that as words that Jesus used at the time of his temptation. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 4 and read that. Matthew 3, we have the account of Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And Matthew 4, we have Jesus being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil in verse 1. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and all the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I think the beautiful part of all of this, of course, Jesus knew the scripture from beginning to end, forward, backwards, knew the future and all that. But he used that in a defense and thwarting the enemy that wanted to destroy him. And it's interesting that at the beginning here, where the first temptation was that of hunger, of physical need, of meeting that physical need, and certainly he was able to do that. We know that later he turned, he multiplied a small boy's lunch to feed 6,000 people, thousands of people, and had much left over. So he was able to do that. It wasn't that he wasn't able, but he made it clear that he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Why was that such an important point here in this part of his life? You know, he had just come from John's baptism. He was just before, we have record here of the Sermon on the Mount, just before, just as he was entering into his ministry. And that those next few chapters there, we have the Sermon on the Mount and, you know, beautiful words that Jesus spoke. I was really blessed this past week by reading a book that Brother Ed, or that Ed had given me to read, Jesus and Muhammad. And this person, as he was seeking the truth, he got to reading Matthew chapter 5. And he said he lost track of time as he just read and read and read. And he didn't lost track of time until the next morning when they called for prayer. the Muslim call for prayer. So he read all night. And I read a similar story about another man that did very much the same thing. He came to Matthew chapter 5, and he read that. Those were words of life. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. He said in John, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that's exactly what these men were experiencing. They were experiencing life. Food is important. We know how important food is. And we can't think, or I can't. If I get really, really hungry, I can't think of anything but food. And it's hard to think beyond that. If I can just get something to eat right now, I'll be all right. A couple of weeks ago, Steve was sharing with us about the beautiful double hamburgers, and my mouth was just watering, you know, just thinking about food. But he was thinking about another food, and today I would like to think about that other food that is for our good. And where Jesus said, it is written. Where did he get that? Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, we have this Israel at a turning point in their life. Moses is giving them some direction from God, and he is giving them some very explicit instruction on what to do, what to remember, how to conduct themselves. And this is what it says. I'm going to read the entire chapter here, Deuteronomy 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and of fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, lest thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, and to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish this covenant which he sware unto his fathers, to thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you that this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. You know, in this chapter, we have a lot of direction. We have God, you know, speaking on a number of different things. But the thing I'd like to focus on especially was the fact that Jesus quoted this in his defense when he says that a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. This was an Old Testament scripture that was familiar to Israel. And they, probably many of them knew the words, but just knowing the words did not keep them from practicing them in their life. Verse 2 gives us clear directions where he says, "And thou shalt remember." Now, if somebody tells you that you must remember, what do you do to help remember? All of us have birthdays. Many of us have anniversaries. Many of us have important days in our life that we try to keep track of. We might have a variety of ways of forgetting things, but if we remember it, we're going to do it probably one way, at least in one way, and that's we're going to think about it a little bit. We're going to think about it. It doesn't just happen. We don't just usually don't just happen to remember. And there's a lot of different ways that we can focus our mind to remember, but here in remembering the word is the one thing that is going to be important. The other day, I was surprised at home by an old cow that I didn't. Yeah, I thought she was too old to have a calf, but I knew she was going to have one, so we kept her, and she had twins. Well, she doesn't have enough milk for two calves, or I didn't think she would have. So every day I would take a little bit of grain down to her and give her some grain, try to keep the other cows away, and while she eats this grain. Well, the other day I went down there and gave her bucket of grain. I used a little Leland screw bucket, square, it doesn't tip over very easily. But the calf, as it went around the cow, tipped the bucket over, and the cow had plastic turned up in her face where she was usually eating. Well, she didn't. She knew there was feed there, so she kept pushing the bucket and getting a few crumbs as it rolled out and would eat that and pushing the bucket a little further. And she wasn't getting very much feed very quick. But she was content with that, just rolling along and getting a little bit at a time. And, you know, I thought, you know, maybe that's how I look at the Word of God sometimes. I'm content with a little crumb when I can get full feed. And sometimes we have the opportunity to get full feed. And I have to think of that in relation to when Jesus was talking to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he just opened unto them the scriptures. And he just, it was such a blessing to them. They were on full feed. And this morning, when we can see the connections between the old and new and see what God has for us, I think that's full feed. When we can see the beautiful picture of the tabernacle, like Brother Joe was sharing with us here, and as the New Testament church, I think that's really getting into it. And I think that's great. So, you know, what Jesus wants for us today is not just to be content with just a partial truth or that, but he wants to get into and have in our hearts every word of God. And one of the ways that we can do that is to establish in our mind what we heard already, that this is the word of God, and to make it a part of us. You know, there's been critics that have taken it apart, and it has stood the test of time. We can save ourselves. We can take it apart if we want to. It'll prove itself true. But we can save ourselves that time and that energy by just accepting it as truth and just using it there. Now, the Bible, the truth stands, and there are some things that are good to look at critically because of the fact that coming in at a different angle, we might be into the full feed on that end of it, where it may have been hid from us. So the Word of God is going to stand. And when we establish that in our mind and we align our life to it rather than trying to use it to justify what we're doing, we are on set for the blessing of God in our life there. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." And he was quoting an Old Testament scripture, but he was using it for his day, and it's good for our day as well. When Israel was ready to cross Jordan, Joshua told them that out of every man there was supposed to be, out of every tribe there was a man, was to gather a stone, and when they were over on the other side, they were going to set these up. And different people have different ideas of how they were going to do it. I saw one picture where it was kind of like in a ring where they were standing up. They were standing stones. This person thought that that was what they were used for. Others thought that they were used as an altar, so to speak. But whatever it was something that was significant. And the purpose of those stones is that when the children ask in time to come, "What mean ye by these stones?" That was the question that would be coming. They would be able to say how that the Lord brought them through the land, into the land of Canaan. The crossing of the Jordan, of course, was a significant event in their history. And we notice that whenever in the early church, when Stephen, when Paul, when Peter, when these people were speaking to the Jews, they always used their history, and it brought them how God had helped them in times past up to the present day. And, of course, Paul and Peter preached, and Stephen preached to them Jesus, and that because he was there, and it was just a forerunner of that. But they were bringing to them the true word of God and pointing them the way that they should go. So markers were used in the Old Testament to remind Israel of God's word, of their history, of what had happened. And we can use markers as well, although we probably don't get too physical with those, but anyhow, it's whatever works to help remind us of how God has worked in our life up in the past and the present. Again, I would say that the most important thing that we can do is to recognize, first of all, that God's word is true. It's just going to do just exactly what it says. It's going to stand forever, and then to align our life with that. But God works, he continues to work in our lives. Next month is the 50th anniversary of when the Ozark Mennonite Church would have had its beginnings very faintly. And I remember when Paul and Sue got married up there, and that would have been, this is going to be the 50th year. And I have to think back of 50 years. What has God done in our church here in 50 years? There have been many mountaintop experiences and some valleys that we've been through. What have we learned? You know, somebody said if we keep doing the same thing, we'll get the same results. If nothing changes, nothing changes. I think that, you know, after time, we should have our hearts that are desiring God in a very definite way. And we should see a difference in our life. And, you know, I trust that as we look back over our personal history, that we can see our walk with God growing closer and desiring God more. I remember when we got married, they told us, different ones that counseled us, told us that, you know, you think you love each other now, but you just wait. You know, if you continue on, it's going to get better. Well, I didn't see how in the world it could get better, because it, you know, that was all of my life. But they were right. You know, it does get better, actually. And so I believe that in a Christian life, it's much the same way. As we get closer to God, the things that are important to me are the things that are important to Him. It's not that way. It's the other way around. It's the things that are important to God are the things that are important to me as well, as I live my life close to Him. The devil also knew what was written. And when Jesus came back with that first one, he was ready for him the second time. And he said, he asked him to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, it is written that they will bear thee up. And he got that from Psalms 91. And lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, the problem was many. The problem was that it was taken out of context, for one. But Jesus was not going to pacify the devil using Scripture. So that can happen as well. We've had Scripture used to justify slavery. We've had Scripture used to justify racial prejudice. Scripture used to do a lot of things that are ungodly. But as a person's heart is desiring truth, it's going to be the Scripture is going to become precious to them. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we read about that a great company of priests was added to the faith, and somebody commented that the Bible just states that as an ordinary event, or very low key, when it must have been a tremendous experience for these people. And and I think that must have been. You know, here was a great company of priests that were added to the faith. People that should be very useful in the church there. And believe that, you know, when we take the Word of God as something that is going to stand, it's going to be a blessing to our generation and the ones to come. Let's turn our hymnals to church hymnal to number 512. I'm sorry, the Christian hymnal. Number 512, the Christian hymnal. Could I have somebody lead that, please? I'm sorry, 512 in the Christian hymnal.
which passeth understanding.
I remember a time in my life when this song became very precious to me, and it was very special. I remember my dad often liked this song. He'd often want to have it sung, but that wasn't the reason why I liked it. I found it very very comforting at a difficult time in life, and when I shared this with one of my friends when we were having a discussion there one time, and he thought that was so unlike how a Christian should be, hiding under a rock when you should be out fighting. You should be a soldier of the cross. You shouldn't be hiding under a rock. Well, you know, he had a point, and there was a valid point there. But what I needed, this song was what I needed at the time I needed it. And I'm made aware of how Jesus is able to fill every need, whatever that need is. If you need to hide under a rock, Jesus is your rock. If you need to be equipped for battle, Jesus is your battle. He can equip you as well. So the Word of God fills that need for us. As we make it precious to us, it becomes our life. It becomes our strength and our guide. And it can become that for us. So this morning, the fact that Jesus said, "It is written," and used that to turn the tempter away from him. And the verses that the youngsters learned about the Word of God standing forever, those are not idle. Those are things that are concrete. Somebody said, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." You know, we've heard that before. And you know, partially true, isn't it? The fact that God said it, that settles it. Whether or not I believe it has no effect on it. So let's believe it for our sake. And we can be anchored. We can have an anchor that will not diminish with time. And when our time has come to go, we can be firm on the rock, Jesus. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.